Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. What is going on? Sports and more sports here on the show today.
Well,
I mean, sort of.
Kind
of. It is your sports bros, Rob and Souk.
We got into a hot political affair talk and.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey, and
we're having some fun. But damn it, we need to stop having fun and we need to get down to sports.
We found out that Rob doesn't have a headboard or matching bedroom furniture.
That's true.
That surprises me about you.
Why?
Because you're kind of a neat and tidy sort of fella.
I am definitely neat and tidy, but I am not into I just don't see, you know, those bedroom sets?
Mm-hmm.
Those are thousands of dollars. That makes no sense to me.
I just kind of assume that, especially like Nurse Nice, who's very put together whenever you see her, and I just always pictured you guys as a nice, nice oak bedroom set.
No.
Like kind of like your wife would have like one of those big, like four pillar beds with the chiffon or something.
No, you'd be most definitely disappointed.
Huh.
At my house.
Yeah, that's
now downstairs.
That surprises me a little bit.
Well, it's put together downstairs, you know, cause you got people and. It's like you want to give the illusion that you... Like,
I see. An illusion that you care?
Yeah, but if you go upstairs, it's Thunderdome up there.
Just
in our
house. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, eight different sets going on together.
I mean, the bed's really nice and comfortable.
Is there like things on the wall in your bedroom? Do you have like artwork or something?
There's a TV.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed
there's
that.
There's a mirror. Yeah, there's a big mirror.
Ah, yeah. one of those.
You know what I'm talking
about.
I
see where you're going with that.
On the ceiling, yeah.
Yeah. But look, if it's
really,
not on the scene.
Do you really want to see that?
No.
Do you really want that view?
No. I'm stunned that my wife wants to see me naked. And half the time, I don't think she does.
It's just more of a humor sort of thing.
It's like, all right, I'm married to you.
Whatever.
I'll pretend I still like you.
Let's do this.
So I would rather, like if it's, you know, some of those bedroom sets, I'd rather buy like Litecoin or something. You know what I mean?
Buy what?
Litecoin or, you know,
Bitcoin
I'm just saying,
or something.
Like I just don't. I have a real hard time spending money on a couple of things. One is just furniture because in general, because it's like stupid. I don't know. I don't get anything out of it.
Rob, not a furniture guy.
And two is cars. If you've noticed, I've driven that truck for 10 years.
Yeah,
I mean, all of our cars, we have three cars and they're all over 100,000 miles.
I will say if you get in like Rob has like a Ram truck, like the it's like cloth seats and there's like rips
there
in them.
Rips in it and yeah, it's like I just don't know, it works fine. It's paid off.
A nice car for you though.
Yeah, but it's over 100,000 miles.
Is it?
It's old. Oh. You know? So look, we're not ballers.
You know what you are?
I'm trying to get to the finish line. Look, I got a lot of golf to play.
LeVar Ball says that you're a little baller.
You're a
small baller.
That's right.
All this house talk reminds me. Did your wife ever find the picture of?
Yeah, we talked about that. She did.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's still there, but she's like, "Hey, what's going on with that?" Well, what Mike's talking about is, I put a picture of Mike and his wife Kelsey in a picture frame and put it in our house our pictures.
Yeah, to see how long it would take her to.
And
notice.
It took like 8 months, but she finally was like, "Hey,
what the hell?"
So anyway, coming up here, some sports and some football. We're gonna talk to Jason Quick about the Blazers at 5:30. And then we'll talk about the Raiders and the Rooney Rule. We may not even get to the LeVar Ball stuff today. So a reprieve from LeVar Ball talk.
Well, thank heavens. And someone asked him, we have been working together for, 12 years? And I have been over to your house once. But
only one time?
But I did not go upstairs.
Yeah, that was like, you probably haven't been in my house in 12 years.
No.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long, long time ago. I think you had just moved into your newer place.
And I have not been... I went to your...
I did go to your old house once to fix your toilet.
Yeah. I went to your house...
Never.
No, I don't think I've ever been to your house, any of your homes.
Never been to any of
my
homes.
I never went to La Center, I know that.
Nope, you've never been to any of my homes.
Because that frightened me.
And I've been to your old home to fix your toilet.
Yeah.
And I went to your new house to watch a boxing match.
There you go.
Those are the two, we've been working together for like 12 years.
We don't hang out.
And those are the only two times that we've made a venture, and by we, I mean me, made a venture over to your house.
All right, coming up in the club, let's talk about why seemingly healthy people die of the flu. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can. It's an epidemic.
Fascinates me because there was this big bodybuilder bro. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he was, where he lived. 21 years old, ripped, like really good shape.
Goes down.
Died of the flu.
I saw an article today, I think KGW had it, where hospitals in Oregon and Southwest Washington are being flooded with flu victims.
Victims? Like deaths?
Well...
You mean people that have the
people
flu.
That have the flu.
Yeah, I'm talking about, and I know the flu's going around and it's bad and, you know, it hits everybody differently. And I'm just saying, like, when you're healthy and you're under 40, it scares me that people die of the flu. Mm-hmm. Like, because we all get the flu. It's like, what is different about the person that died and me?
Well, I get it's different because we're in the United States, but look up, like, world deaths from flu and it'll blow you away.
All right.
People die all the time.
Let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh, yeah.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Coors Light. When things get hot, cool off with a frost-brewed Coors Light. Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on.
Number five.
Number five.
By the way, real quick, last year, estimation worldwide, over 600,000 deaths due to the flu. It's a lot of bodies.
Oregon is at Arizona State tonight. Arizona State's ranked 11th.
Yep. They were as high as fourth at one point.
Yeah, but they've lost 2 out of 3 in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
So that's a big game for Oregon going down there. Oregon just 11-5 in the Pac-12. They are ninth in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. So that's a big game. And then Oregon State is at Arizona. Cats are good again. They are ranked 17th right now. And that game will be at 6 o'clock down in Tucson. You know who's leading the Pac-12 right now? Seen the standings lately?
I have not seen the standings lately. I know Arizona State's the highest ranked. Arizona State and Arizona, the two ranked teams.
Yeah, but Arizona State's 1-2 in the league.
Yeah.
They
were fourth in the country and then started off the conference play 0-2.
The team that's 3-1 is UCLA.
Oh, go Bruins.
And Washington's pretty good. That Hopkins guy's got Washington playing pretty well.
Didn't they knock off Kansas earlier this year?
Well, pretty much everybody's knocked off Kansas.
Yeah, is Kansas even ranked?
I don't know where their latest ranking is. I think they are, yeah. But they're not very good this year. They're waiting for a couple of reinforcements. They got a couple kids. They got to, you know, work on some.
Understand.
Got to get them in second term. What else we have here? The NFL announces who will play in London next season, and it includes the Seahawks. Week 6, it'll be the Seahawks and Raiders at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And then the following 2 weeks after that, they don't know what order, but the Eagles will play the Jags at Wembley, and then the Titans will play the Chargers at Wembley. Pretty good lineups for London.
I was going to say, normally we make fun of the Jags playing over there, but the Jags are actually pretty good now. Don't they play over there every year now? Didn't they make a deal for a couple of years? One of their home games is going to be over there. I think they do it every year now.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, there were 4 London games last year. They're reducing it to 3 next year. But Seahawks Raiders week 6.
By the way, your Kansas Jayhawks?
Yeah, what are they ranked? They won again last night.
Yeah, they're ranked 12th.
Yeah, that's way too high. They're maybe a top 25 team.
They're only 12-3. Every time I look up, I feel like they've lost, but
no, they've just only lost 3. But they're not
kind of high profile losses.
They're not very good. Mariners get some pitching. Oh wait, no, they don't.
No.
The Mariners have signed catcher Mike Zunino to a 1-year deal.
Yes,
he gets just under $3 million. Now this avoids arbitration. Now the guy did hit .328 over his final 40 games last year, and he did finish with 25 dongs.
What?
Dongs.
Yeah, 25 of them?
Home runs.
Seems like a lot.
Is that a record?
Seems like a lot of dongs.
Now, here's a Mike Zunino fun fact for you. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. By the way, my favorite Seattle Mariner, Mike Zunino.
Baseball Reference ranks the top 500 catchers by WAR, which is a baseball stat.
Wins above replacement.
Yeah, wins above replacement. Zunino is in the top 500.
Yes!
He ranks 290th. He is sandwiched in between Yorvit, Torrey Alba, and John Wathan.
Well, at least I've heard of one of those.
Which one?
The first one.
You don't remember Wathan?
No, I don't remember Wathan.
Wathan was the Royals. Wathan was actually pretty good.
Zunino at one point was viewed as like a huge prospect for the Mariners, and they brought him up. And
oh, he's top five pick.
He couldn't do a damn thing, and then he's shown flashes.
Rod Barajas, though, right on his heels. Got to be careful. Number two, Arizona football coaching news. First off, the NFL team, there are reports that Pat Shurmur is the favorite to replace Bruce Arians.
Can I just say that makes me happy when after all the like these young, hot, you know, kind of new coaches last year, we're going back to the olden days. Let's just go recycle someone. Dave Campo apparently in line for another job, too.
Shurmur currently the OC of the Vikings, previously head coach of the Browns. Arizona college team is looking to replace Rich Rod. Kevin Sumlin is a candidate. But money appears to be a major obstacle with him. The cheaper alternative emerging as a favorite is Western Kentucky coach Mike Sanford.
Well, remember, they've got to buy out Rich Rod, and that's a pretty penny. So this really could affect, you know, what kind of coach they can go out and get, because they probably can't afford to pony up $3.5-4 million.
Sanford is the former OC at Notre Dame, and at Western Kentucky in his first season, he went 6-7. It should be noted that the AD at Western Kentucky is denying that he's a candidate, and also Sanford claims he has no interest, which should mean that he is the next Arizona head coach.
What more can I say? I will not be the next coach at Alabama. Like 8 days later, Nick Saban at Alabama.
And Mark Helfrich is back in coaching. He will not go to UCLA with Chip Kelly. He is instead going to go be the offensive coordinator of the NFL's Chicago Bears.
Yeah, remember, his name surfaced in the Arizona job search. Obviously, he was offered the job at UCLA, and he ends up in with the Bears, which seems a bit odd. But his agent, they share an agent with Nagy. So maybe this is something, too, where he's just looking for a different challenge, didn't want to recruit, or just, you know, try something. You know, he's been in college for a long time. Try your hand at the NFL and see how it goes.
The Seahawks will be interviewing Brian Schottenheimer for their OC vacancy. He is the son of Marty and is the current quarterback's coach for the Colts.
I feel like he's been around the block a lot.
I know. I remember when Marty Schottenheimer was a coach and everybody would talk about Brian, because Brian always coached. It seemed like he was always coaching with Marty.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, Brian Schottenheimer is the next hot thing. Well, here he is, still a quarterback's coach. 800 years later.
Well, have you seen that? Like, Norv Turner's got that going on. Like, two or three of Norv Turner's kids are going to be on Carolina staff.
Yeah, Mike just filled me in on that during the break. Mike, do you care to tell our listeners?
Norv Turner's the offensive coordinator.
For the Panthers now.
For the Panthers. Norv Turner's son is the quarterback coach. Norv Turner's brother is an offensive consultant. And Norv Turner's nephew is the assistant quarterback coach.
It's basically like an episode of Spaceballs. How many a-holes we got on this ship? Yo!
Now, why
a lot of Turners.
Why... Okay, so do you think he negotiated all that?
I don't know. It's
do
just
they kinda, really want all those other guys?
Maybe that's how they got Norv Turner, is they're like, hey, I think we can go get our dad. Or, you know, let's.
You know what? You know what, my wife? She's a hell of a special teams coach. I want her. I want her on special teams.
Wouldn't that be adorable if we just had an entire, like, Andy Reid's coaching tree, but instead
family
of
football.
Instead of his coaching tree, let's get the real family tree in there. The whole Reid clan in there coaching.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, download the new Coors Light XP app. Earn points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and rewards, even game tickets. A couple thoughts on Raiders, the Oakland Raiders and the Rooney Rule next, and then we'll talk some Blazers at 5:30 with Jason Quick.
This guy says Norv Turner's lever is the ball boy.
It is 5:15 on The Fan.
Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, the Raiders are in a little hot water. By the way, coming up here in 10 minutes, Jason Quick will pop on. And for you Blazer fans, we will talk some Blazers. Damian Lillard versus Chris Paul. Man, what a fight that was last night.
An NBA fight.
But hey, the Blazers.
But wouldn't you like to see an actual, like, UFC-NBA kind of crossover? Like, get some guys in the NBA and actually watch them fight?
No.
I'd pay my $60 to see that.
Well, anyway.
You're telling me Lillard, Chris Paul in the cage, you're not watching that?
Oh, I'd watch it.
No, you're watching.
I don't know. I'm a lover, not a fighter, Jason. I don't like watching fights. All I can think of is Kermit Washington, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, the Tom John events.
That was horrible.
Wow.
So anyway,
he almost killed him.
All right. So listen, that's coming up in 10 minutes. The Blazers are playing better. What does it mean? And all that stuff. But the Raiders are in a little hot water because, well, they had John Gruden before they fired Jack Del Rio.
Yeah.
So there's this thing called the Rooney Rule in the NFL where you have to interview at least one minority candidate for an opening. And the Raiders, now some groups are calling for the Raiders to be fined here and really be investigated because they had their guy before they fired Del Rio. But then they did this charade of, no, nothing's decided. Let's interview T. Martin.
But the problem with this is that a lot of black coaches say that it's patronizing.
Yes.
For a guy like T. Martin to go take an interview when he knows damn well that the only reason you're doing it is because the color of his skin, and then he has absolutely zero chance of getting the job because you're already giving John Gruden $100 million.
It is definitely patronizing, but I think there's a flip side to that coin in that I think that it is important for owners to interview minority candidates. Look, the owners and the GMs are going to hire whoever they want regardless of the role.
Exactly.
Right? But there's a reason why it's in place, and it's so that minorities get interviews. And I think that following the process, no matter what, is important because those guys get familiar with candidates that they wouldn't otherwise. That's the whole point.
Exactly. So let's take, for example.
So now T. Martin, I know that may be patronizing.
It's a good
but
point.
But now Mark Davis and whoever else, Reggie McKenzie, were in that room with T. Martin. They know T. Martin, and this is how Mike Tomlin got the Steelers job. Yep. They know him and they're like, oh, well, if something comes up in the future or another owner's looking for a guy, I'm like, dude, that T. Martin guy impressed the hell out of me.
Exactly. Or let's say Reggie McKenzie moves on to the, I don't know, let's say Reggie McKenzie ends up being the next GM in Tampa or someplace 5 years down the road and he remembers interviewing T. Martin or someone, like you said, calls Reggie McKenzie and someone asks him, hey, did you interview T. Martin? Oh yeah, you definitely should talk to this guy. So there is an element of that where yes, you should absolutely follow this. I think it's sometimes for a coach, I think it can be hard to see down the road and it's just more insulting. I've heard coaches that don't even want to take these interviews.
Maybe they don't take them.
Yeah.
The proof's in the pudding.
You should.
Do they take them?
Yeah.
Many times they do because they know it's look, I know this is kind of a charade here, but you know, what's going to hurt meeting with Mark Davis?
Exactly.
And getting to know Mark Davis.
Getting more people of color in coaching positions. I make this analogy all the time, but it's tipping over a Coke machine. It's not done with just one push. You got to rock it a little bit and then hopefully have it go over. So if the Raiders didn't follow the rule, what is it? $100,000 fine or whatever it is.
But they technically did. I mean, they did do interviews. And so they already had their man, though, which is what people are saying. And then we knew, and Mark Davis admitted that. So.
But I mean, again, if you fine him, so you just gave John Gruden $100 million. Do you really think the Raiders care if you fine him $100,000? I mean, whatever.
No, exactly. I don't know. How hard is it? It's one freaking interview.
I know.
Right? It's like just, it's good for all parties, even if the decision has already been made.
Yes.
That's how I feel about it. And at worst, owners and GMs get familiar with good minority candidates. That's kind of the point, is that they're good old boy networks full of a bunch of white dudes.
And we're breaking through that.
So this allows them to get people that they wouldn't normally look at, unfortunately, into their heads and get them on their radar.
Well, it's nice that in a league that's, what, almost 80% African-American, that now, you know, coaching staffs are not looking nearly as pasty as they used to, that you're starting to see some of this, you know, crack and you're seeing more guys, not just in position coaches, but in coordinators and now getting into head coaching jobs. Because that's the other thing. It's just as important to get people that are minorities into coordinator positions, because that's where you're going to become a head coach, right? You're not going to go from being the receivers coach. You have to get guys in OC and DC positions. And then eventually, you know, that's where you get the Todd Bowles of the world and the Van Josephs.
Well, and as somebody texted in 55305, this guy says, well, plus T. Martin gets interview experience.
Yeah.
You know, and T. Martin's name's popped up in a lot of college.
T. Martin will be a head coach at some point along the
way. Yeah, you hear his name an awful lot.
You do. And he, by the way, he was the coach, or not the coach, but the quarterback when Tennessee won their national title. Think about that. Peyton Manning never won the SEC, and T. Martin won a national title for Tennessee after, I think it was the year or two after Peyton Manning left. But he's a guy.
It was the next year.
I was going to say it was either the next year or the year or 2 years after, but he will be a head coach, whether it's at the collegiate level or in the NFL sometime soon. He is what you call a rising star.
All right. Well, anyway, in the NFL, one other thing that I wanted to mention before we move on to Blazer talk is this Tennessee safety, Kevin, is it Byard or Baird or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
Plays safety for the Titans. Did you see what he said?
I'm looking up his official name here.
It's B-Y-A-R-D. I think it's Baird.
Baird.
So he said he wants to make Tom Brady look like Blake Bortles. That is fantastic. Now, Blake Bortles has come out and said that, well, did you see Bortles compared himself to LeBron James?
What?
Yeah.
Bortles went there, huh?
Yeah,
We played the clip on the show yesterday.
Yeah, he said
that. Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
There are people that will always think LeBron James sucks.
And he said that people will always think that I suck.
Yeah.
The difference is that LeBron James is one of the greatest players of all time. Blake, you are not.
Yeah, you, sir, are no LeBron James. But I think the other point there is not one person in the world who thinks LeBron James sucks. Like, that is the worst, literally the worst example he could have brought up. Right? I mean, if any athlete, okay, there's give and take. There's good. He's got a lot of qualities, but you know, this guy's overrated or this guy's that. LeBron James is like the perfect basketball player. He's the perfect athlete.
The only argument anyone has is that he's not the greatest of all time. That's the only argument against LeBron James.
But he kind of is.
But there's some people that will say Jordan or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a debate other than, is he the best player of all time? Blake, some people are debating whether or not you should be a starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's like, pick any other athlete, and I see what your point is. There is not one person who thinks LeBron James sucks.
I just think it's hilarious that Baird, it brings up Blake Bortles, because you don't hear this very often. Like, you normally don't hear NFL or really any guys calling out random player X. Like, you don't really make these sorts of analogies.
Yeah.
And yet, poor Blake Bortles.
What do you think it's like to be Blake Bortles?
I think it's good to be Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of money. You're a good-looking guy. I guarantee he's got a total smoke show as his girl.
Oh, here's his... Oh, yeah, wife.
Is his girlfriend or wife?
It appears to be his wife.
Are we looking good?
Little blonde spinner.
Is this up and good?
Yeah, yes.
Again.
Of course it's up and good.
And he was like a top 10. Oh gosh, yeah. Let me reiterate once again that it's great to be Blake Bortles. Boy, she is.
Is it the same girl that he was dating at UCF?
Yes.
Yeah. She was an Instagram model.
Yeah. She's hot.
It's up and good.
Holy Blake Bortles.
Up and good.
How is a crappy talk show host in Portland do I get one of these Instagram models? How do I make that happen?
Well, I think you become a crappy NFL quarterback.
You slide into their DMs and see what happens?
Mm. Yeah, slide into their DMs. That's what they say.
Hey, you like crappy NFL quarterbacks. How do you feel about washed out practice squad offensive linemen from 15 years ago?
Bortles only makes $6.5 million. Am I right about that?
Only $6.5 million?
Yeah, that's low for a starting quarterback.
Yeah, but he's still making $6.5 million. He's probably made $30 million over his career, and he's married to that, and he lives in Florida with no income tax. It's great to be Blake Bortles.
He's got a pretty... Oh, so he's a free agent, I think. Yeah, so they got to make a decision on him.
Boy, I don't
know. What would you do with him?
I'd offer him about $9 million.
Yeah. Try to keep him in the fold.
Yeah, and if he doesn't want it, then you move on. And I think there's going to be some other quarterbacks that could be available. You know, if I was Jacksonville and I want to run the ball the way I do and I've got a good defense like that, you know who I go see if I could throw like maybe a third round pick at is Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Titans are going to try to make Tom Brady look like Blake Bortles. And if that happens, watch out. They've got a shot. I guess that's what that means.
Has Tom Brady ever looked like Blake Bortles?
I'm trying to think of the worst Tom Brady game I can remember.
Now,
the Denver game, when Denver knocked him off their Super Bowl year.
Yeah, he didn't look like
that. They took pretty good care of Brady.
Now, Jacksonville made Ben Roethlisberger look like Blake Bortles earlier this year.
Yeah.
But Jacksonville's defense is the best in the league. Tennessee's is not. Like, I don't give Tennessee.
Wouldn't that be funny if a Jacksonville player came out and said, yeah, well, we made Ben Roethlisberger look like Blake Bortles.
Five picks. Five picks they had in that game. By the way, Tennessee has zero chance of going into Foxborough and beating New England. Jacksonville, right. I think, has an opportunity.
We'll talk more about those games tomorrow. Be with us tomorrow. We'll get you ready for the NFL weekend. But up next, the Portland Trail Blazers, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, Jason Quick, they'll all join us. We'll have a conference call. We'll talk Blazers next.
No doubt.
Here's Mike.
I'm with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's talk about the hometown boys. You know, every Thursday when Jason Quick comes on here, I review the standings for you. And I just keep, you know, one week I want to be like, oh my God.
Hey, making a move.
But
hey, they're playing better.
They are definitely playing better. There's no question about that. They look better, but they're right in the meaty part of the bell curve again. I can report to you this week. The Trailblazers losing last night at Houston. They are 22-19, fifth in the West. They have won 6 of 10. Here is Jason Quick. Any more fallout from Chris Paul and Damian Lillard?
No fallout. It was a Bush League move, though, don't you think?
Souk doesn't. I mean, I don't think you should do it. I think it's kind of stupid, but I also kind of wonder if guys really do get pissed about it. Like, is it really that big of a thing? Was he really mad, Lillard, or was it just that you're supposed to be mad and so you kind of show that you are, but you're not really?
No, I think you're mad in the moment, but by the time I got in the locker room, they were more irritated. They weren't mad, and they were ready to move on. But I think it will be one of those little slivers of motivation the next time they play the Rockets, I think.
Yeah, I just feel like
I think they'll remember it.
There's like 100 of these things. I remember 2 years ago when they were beating Golden State by 40, and there's like 8 minutes left in the game, and Lillard's still in the game jacking threes, or every time he mean mugs someone or points to the watch. And I just feel like there's 1,000 of these like things in the NBA where someone's offended by something. And to me, it just boils down to you're pissed off because you got your ass kicked. You're pissed off because the game didn't go the way you wanted to, so you're a little sensitive, and then something happens. And granted, he shouldn't have done it, but to me, those things are always more about you losing the game and you being frustrated than actually upset about what happened on the court.
Yeah, I hear you. I totally hear you. I see both sides. Just because it's a time-honored piece of etiquette, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think the Blazers handled it right. I liked what Stott said. He said, hey, look, he can do whatever. We've got bigger things to worry about than what somebody's doing in a game that's already been decided. And Lillard was like, you know, hey, in the spirit of sportsmanship and respect, I don't think it was the right thing, but we need to move on. So I think they gave it their due irritation, but they weren't going to dwell on it.
The thing that I'm more annoyed about, to be honest with you, like if I'm a Portland fan, is that Lonzo Ball now has more votes than Damian Lillard. And not that I guess that's a giant thing, but I was thinking about this other day, and you know, the Blazers are stuck in mediocrity, and Lillard is a well-known player. You know, he's got the $100 million shoe deal and the rap stuff, so people know who Lillard is. But like, I think about this as you're in the prime of his career, and how many players, you know, throughout the course of the NBA, if you want to go all the way back, and where Alex Inglis or Sidney Moncrief and Mitch Richmond and guys like this that were multiple-time All-Stars, that were great players, you know, 25 points a game, but you look back on their careers and they're just kind of largely forgotten because they just languished in obscurity and mediocrity. And that I just saw that with the kind of the All-Star voting. As good as Lillard is, that if you get three more years of this, does he go down in history as just one of those guys that's like, oh yeah, he was really good, and then is just forgotten about? It's almost like a wasted talent.
Yeah, and I think that's the big issue facing Neil Olshey right now with the Blazers is, these are Lillard's prime years, and are you going to waste it by surrounding him with, you know, an average to below average supporting cast that gets you about anywhere from 40 to 44 wins a year? I mean, that's what we're staring at right now. So, you know, I think Lillard does everything he can to elevate this franchise, but he just doesn't have the support. And if some big changes don't come, then I think you're right. He's going to be looked at as just a really nice player who never really amounted much because of his supporting cast.
Just to bring everyone up to speed, because maybe not everybody saw the game last night, but Chris Paul was past the ball in the final seconds. Everybody's just standing around waiting for
like 12 seconds left,
waiting for the clock to expire, and he just went in for a dunk, and easy too. Damian Lillard didn't like it. But anyway, not a huge deal. I wanted to ask you something that came up when we were talking about this topic earlier about Lillard, and I think a lot of times in the NBA, you know, teams do take on the persona of their star player. And we always talk about Damian Lillard's, you know, kind of edge. And, you know, he got in Chris Paul's face last night. And we like that about him. We love the kind of the toughness and the whole Oakland thing. And he's kind of a warrior. But the Blazers don't really play like that. Can you explain why the Blazers don't seem to, even though you talk about Damian Lillard's great leadership, the Blazers don't really seem to reflect what attitude he appears to have?
Yeah, that's a good question, Isaac. One, if you just look at their roster, they don't have any really physically imposing players. you know, their power forwards, Al-Farouq Aminu, who's pretty lanky. Their center is Yusuf Nurkic, who is tall and kind of wide, but look, I've seen him with his shirt off. He doesn't have any definition, no muscle, and we've seen what a flopper and how soft he is. You know, Evan Turner's kind of gooey. Maurice Harkless is long and lanky. This is not a physically imposing team. It's not going to rough you up. It doesn't want to be physical. It's a finesse team. So, I think that's part of it. But I think from a mental standpoint, I think this team does have some resolve to it. And I think they showed a little bit of that last night. You know, they were down 14 with about, anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes. And it looked like, okay, this game's over. And then, boom, they went on a 9-0 run. And it became a back-and-forth game in the final minute. But you know, I don't know if that answered your question, but that's my take on it.
No, they are. Yeah, I mean, I see your, you know, mentally, they don't give up easy. They're a little wishy-washy in terms of just kind of consistent effort, which bothers me sometimes, but that's the league. I mean, the ebbs and flows of the season is a very long season, so you may be right about that. Okay, Lillard, now this is a stupid storyline in my opinion, but, you know, some people think it, and it is kind of a thing. Lillard gets hurt, Napier comes in, and they play great. What is it about when Damian Lillard is not in the game, when they don't have Damian Lillard, they look better? What is that?
Well, I think the ball moves more, and I think guys cut more because they think they're going to get the ball, and more role players are playing longer minutes. And, you know, you're talking about Pat Connaughton's, Maurice Harkless, those type of guys who aren't high volume shooters to begin with. So they're kind of used to running set plays and running them hard. And I think just that combination of all that, and Shabazz isn't, he's looking to get other people involved. And I think that combination just results in a lot of ball movement, different people taking shots, different people playing hard, because I think this, and we've talked about it on the show before, I think part of the offense is everyone knows that one of three guys is going to shoot it, CJ, Dame, or Nurk. And I think that has led to some of the role players, and particularly the wings, Evan Turner, Maurice Harkless, kind of becoming not disinterested, but, all right, yeah, I'm just kind of drifting around here on the three-point line waiting for those guys to shoot. And I think it leads to a little bit of stagnant offense.
So that to me says what we talked about. It kind of goes back to something you and I talked about last week. And it's that I just don't think Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are going to work long term together. And so everybody says, oh, they're better without Damian Lillard. Oh, hell no, they're not. Give me a break. But doesn't what you're saying lead to the idea that I brought up last week, that maybe CJ and another ball-dominant guy who shoots a lot, maybe that's the guy that needs to go if you don't think that they're going to work long-term? Maybe there's your trade piece.
Yeah, that's certainly one theory, Isaac. And, you know, it's been a well-talked-about theory, I think, in Portland. I think CJ probably has the best value out there, but I'm telling you, I would be very, very stunned if Neil O'Shea traded him. He loves CJ McCollum, and I think it would have to be a really special deal for him to part ways with him. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the question for the last 2 years, I would say, is does this pairing translate to a championship level team? And, you know, the first knock on it was the defense. And I think Dame has taken, in particular, a huge step toward playing better defense. And I think CJ too, but he's still not considered a plus defender. But that was the first knock, that, okay, these two can't play defense good enough for this team to be a championship level team. Now it's, you know, can the rest of the team function at a high level when those guys are so ball dominant and so high volume with shooting? So it's a question. I don't know. Those basketball minds get paid to do that kind of decision making. But from the outside looking in right now, you'd have to wonder if this combination is the right equation for a championship level team.
Well, it's the damnedest thing. If I would have told you at the start of this season that the defensive matrix would improve, what, 60%?
They're still top five.
Yeah, I mean, this is, they would be a
bizarro world.
It is.
And yet I would tell you that with these two guards that are smaller and push the pace, that this would be essentially in almost every metric the slowest or one of the two slowest pace teams in the NBA, and that the offense would be the problem. You would have laughed in my face.
Yeah. Everything about this season is upside down. They're a terrible home team, but an above average road team, which used to be the exact opposite. The defense is good now. The offense is bad. And I think part of the offense too is, and the offense has gotten better the last six games. I think they're averaging 114 points over that time. But I think they had to learn how to become a pick and roll team again. They're so pick and roll conscious with Nurkic in there, and that slows things down a lot. Before, it was more of a motion offense, a lot of perimeter passing, a lot of cuts. And so I think they had to learn how to play while focusing on a pick and roll center. And part of the reason that the offense is getting better is because Nurkic is making more close range shots. He was absolutely brutal for the first 25 games of the season, where he's just missing point blank shots, but he's made a higher percentage of those. And as a result, the offense has more rhythm and more flow.
All right. How you holding up? We're about halfway home here. You okay?
Yeah. You know what? I actually, I flew home today. I'm taking the last two games of this trip off. I'll be in the studio tomorrow. But it's my birthday this weekend, and the little lady has a little something planned for me, and my Steelers are playing. So
yes,
I'm taking a little mini breath within the middle of the season.
Well, happy birthday. When is your birthday, and how old are you?
My birthday is Saturday, and I will be turning 48.
Oh my God. Wow. You're way older than I thought.
You look great though. It's all that power walking.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, you know, good living.
Yeah. Clean life.
except for this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steelers are going to go to the Super Bowl. You heard it here first.
I hope so. It's going to be tough to win in Foxborough, though, but got to take care of this week first.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Happy birthday.
Okay. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. So two things. One, we can come back and talk about this. The Dame CJ thing, it comes up again. Mm-hmm. Like we've been saying, I've been saying this for two and a half years.
And it's going to continue to come up.
I just don't think they can coexist. You know, is it that those guys are just too similar and too ball dominant that the rest of the crew, no matter who you put around them, is only going to be so good? Or is it that those guys are really good together, and if they put better than a garbage crew around them, because this crew around Dame and CJ is not good.
No.
If they put a better team around them, would this problem go away? It's A or B. What do you think it is? I think it's A. I think you're going to have a hard time putting together a balanced roster with both of those guys in the backcourt for the reasons that we mentioned. So I would God, I so advocate trading CJ McCollum at this trade deadline and flip the script, get you a wing, maybe another big, who knows, draft picks. Just he'll get you something, and you could balance this thing out rather quickly. Damian Lillard's in his prime.
Yep, and that's every time this gets brought up, you hear the same thing from anyone that's close to the GM, bro, is, and I wonder how much of this is Neil and how much of this is Paul.
They love him,
bro. But they just love him.
I get why, but.
And when you're in love with someone and you become blinded like that, you're just not willing sometimes to make that tough decision. But I brought up, I talked about this while you were gone the one day I was back, but I think about how many players in the NBA, like over their careers, you look back and you're like, hey, that guy was a five-time All-Star. And, you know, he's a top 40 scorer of all time. And he was this great player. But you think about him, you're like, he didn't do anything. He's just kind of lost in the annals of history. And that's my fear, is that 3-4 years from now, we're going to look at a 31-year-old Damian Lillard and be like, hey, he's a 3-4-time All-Star. He's got a bunch of nice stats and a shoe deal.
Or he has to go somewhere else and team up with somebody else and win a bunch there.
Yeah.
It's all right. Anyway, text 55305, 531-551. The club is in 10 minutes on the fan. Yeah, a buddy of mine brought this up. He's exactly right. You know, the Warriors, remember, they had Curry and Monte Ellis in their backcourt.
Yep.
And they realized that wasn't going to work out, and they traded Monte Ellis, and that turned into Klay Thompson. And draft picks.
And draft picks that may have turned into Draymond Green. And I know the Draymond Green one, I mean, you kind of found lightning in a bottle there at the, either it was a late first round or maybe even an early second round pick. But yeah, the point is, they realized that you couldn't win with those two guards. And it's tough, because I think Lillard is a top, what, 14, 13 player in the NBA, somewhere in that range. And CJ has established himself as a top probably 25, 30 guy in the NBA. And so it's tough to want to give both of those, either one of those guys up. But Lillard is clearly the better player and established himself as clearly the better two-way player. And so you're right in that if you want to balance out the roster, the only thing that you have is CJ. But you wonder, with the history of Portland falling in love with their guys, and I don't know how much of this is Neil and how much of it is Paul Allen, but is either one of those guys willing to let CJ walk? And what could you get back in return for him is the question.
Yeah, and people are asking that. I don't know. That's why these guys get paid.
But CJ is one of the better two-guard scorers in the NBA.
Yeah.
And he would have significant interest out there on the open market.
No question.
You know,
and he can play point.
Yes.
And, you know, you got a lot of teams out there in a point guard league now without point guards. That is a, you know, I'm surprised. You know, I'd be fascinated to know how many calls they get about CJ.
I know.
Or Dame, you know.
Well, but for a while there, like, names like Jimmy Butler, you know, Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, those were the sort of names that were thrown out there for CJ. And whether those deals were ever discussed or exactly how realistic those are, but those are, I mean, those are all, again, top 20 names that are thrown out there. That's the sort of piece that you would hope, or that you'd be willing to do the deal for. You just don't know, because it feels like that has never been a real consideration for Portland, is to make the deal, because you hear time and time again they love these guys and they are going to build around them. It's just that Lillard, what, turns 28 this year? You wonder if, you know, the clock's ticking on this. And
I don't wonder. It is.
You know, a couple years.
People are starting to get restless.
You know, a couple years from now, you know, one, do you waste a prime, or do you run the risk of Lillard getting tired of this? When he's clearly said time and time again that he needs more help, do you run the risk of eventually him saying, I want out?
All right, up next in the club, what do you make of regular people dying of the flu? And you remember that Texas A&M booster bro who wanted Kevin Sumlin fired?
Yeah, he's the guy that bought a tank and put it on his front yard.
Yeah, he's back in the news. And we'll get to that next in the club on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.